Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast.
Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast. My name is Braden Pohowicz.
And my name is John Drabert. It's great to have you with us today.
As promised, we will be announcing some super exciting things regarding our summer camp program here at Covenant Bay Bible Camp for the summer 2021. You will all be the first to hear this and will be able to share this insider info, this hot scoop, with your friends.
This is really exciting news, Braden, and you're going to be sharing this at the end of our episode today, correct?
Exactly. Yep. So tune in stay tuned in for the whole episode. Listen to this very interesting Bible story that we share with you today, and then hear the news at the end.
All right. Well, last week we were introduced to Saul. Now, he was a persecutor of Christians and worked tirelessly to squash the Christian movement.
Yeah, before we get into the background of the story, the key lesson for all of us today is this. And this is straight out of scripture, and it says, "To live is Christ, to die is gain."
Now, this is a direct quote, as Braden said, and it's found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, and it was written by Saul. And he says this, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, we're going to learn a little bit more about what that means after our story.
That's right. So today's story is found in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verses 19 to 31.
So a little bit more background on Saul. Saul was persecuting Christians and even ordering the execution of some.
Yeah, persecuting means abusing or making it very difficult for a person to live in accordance with their religious beliefs.
Yeah, that's right. So one of the stories about this, or an example of this, is the story of Stephen, a young man who was a powerful preacher. And now, long story short, Saul and a bunch of other guys did not like what he was saying. And so they stoned him. They threw rocks at him until he was dead. Now, Saul was the one the crowd looked to for approval so that they would not get in trouble with the religious leaders.
Now, Saul was definitely not a person you would want to meet if you were a Christian at this time. It would have been terrifying, which explains in last week's story why Ananias was so hesitant to go and pray for Saul and restore his eyesight. So listen to Ananias' response. This is found in Acts 9, verse 13 to 14, and he says this, "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I have heard many people talk about the terrible things that this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he's authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name."
Now think about this. All of the Christians at that time knew of Saul and his desire to destroy the Christian church. One more thing about Saul. Saul, at some point after this story, goes by another name, and it is Paul. Now, you probably have heard of Paul if you've grown up in the church or have been reading your Bible. And Paul, we first read about this new name of Paul's in Acts chapter 13, verse 9. Now, people often think of Saul's name change as happening at the same time as when Jesus blinded him on the road to Damascus, but it was actually later on that he goes by a different name.
Well, that's fascinating. Okay, so we're going to jump into today's story right now. So that's the background. So today's story starts, and after Saul's eyesight is restored, he goes and gets something to eat, and then he ends up staying with other Christians in Damascus for a couple days, which is crazy. I mean, he just, you know, meets Jesus on the road and is drastically changed, and now he's going to stay with Christians.
Yeah, and so my thought, if I was staying with some other Christians, some new friends, my thought would be to hunker down for a few days and rest and fully recover. Maybe take some time to reflect on all that just happened. But Saul, that's not what he does at all. Right away, he goes to the synagogues where the Jews gathered for teaching and conversation, and he begins to preach. He begins to debate with these Jews that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. He was the Messiah.
I mean, it's fascinating because we see Saul as a man of influence on both sides now. You know, he was a man that people really looked to and listened to his words. So Saul is then preaching, and it was so powerful that nobody could argue against him. He was presenting the ideas of Jesus being the Son of God so well, so eloquently, that nobody could argue a different point without really sounding foolish. Basically, John, like, when I try and argue a point, like, it just sounds so good, you can't say anything else.
Right,
about
I have
it.
I have zero things to say.
Exactly.
Yes, that's correct. Well, this whole debate that Saul has with the Jewish leaders in Damascus, it upset the Jewish leaders.
Well,
course.
Hold on. I mean, it didn't just upset them; it made them furious, like really angry. Mm. They wanted to kill Saul, and understandably, Saul went from, you know, probably the most valuable player on their team, someone who was very important and influential, to then just on his way to another town, flipping sides and changing teams. And they obviously didn't understand that. He went from persecuting and killing Christians to, well, being a follower of Christ. Not only that, but Saul was one of the leaders against the Christian faith. And now, he's making the people who he used to be on the same side with look like fools. He's making his former comrades look not that smart or foolish and embarrassing to a lot of them.
Yeah. And not only were these Jews angry, but they were confused.
Mm-hmm.
They knew he was coming and was the one arresting Christians and imprisoning them. They knew what he was all about. And all of their expectations when he got there, they were blown out of the water. So everybody, the Christians, the Jews, they were all confused as what is going on. So the Jews were waiting. They were waiting for their chance to kill Saul. And they were watching him coming and going in and out of the homes that he was staying at.
Mm-hmm.
And they watched every single day, night and day, for a chance to murder him.
It's crazy. Could you imagine the man that you thought was going to come to the town and kill all of the Christians, and then you see him going from house to house, staying in their homes, like taking advantage of their hospitality? Oh, man. So Saul got word of their plans. And so he was then lowered in a basket through the opening in the city wall. He needed to escape. He obviously didn't want to be killed, and so he escapes those who are wanting to kill him, the Jewish leaders in Damascus.
Yeah, so Saul then, after he escapes, he travels back to Jerusalem, and there he tries to meet up with the other believers, the Christians in Jerusalem.
But, you know, Saul's reputation precedes him, and they were also still scared of Saul, so they avoided him. Remember, Saul had been given approval for Stephen's death, for the stoning of Stephen. He had a written letter from the religious leaders and the high priests to imprison the Christians. This was Saul's job. This is what he was allowed and in fact told to do. The old Saul had power and was obviously willing to use it against the Christians. I mean, I would certainly be scared if I was a Christian, and I would definitely be avoiding Saul.
For sure. Now, it took another Christian named Barnabas to convince the other Christians that Saul was a changed man and now on their side, on their team. It was then that the apostles, or Jesus' disciples, welcomed Saul into their group.
Get this. Saul began to debate with some of the Greek Jews, and those people got so angry that they wanted to kill him. Man, Saul cannot catch a break. He basically continued to preach so well that he was proving that Jesus was the Messiah.
Yeah, so within 1 week or so, Saul has been at two cities and has Jews not just wanting him dead, mm-hmm. you know, I want him dead, but they're actually physically trying to murder him. Talk about a hostile welcome to the Christian faith, right?
Yeah. I mean, you would have had, you know, crowds and people kind of following him and obviously trying to make this happen.
Mm.
It sounds terrifying. And again, yeah, you know, poor Saul has kind of terrible reputations on both sides. So finally, the believers, with the help of Barnabas and now trusting Saul, take him to the port of Caesarea. And then they sent Saul back home to Tarsus. After that, the Christians were able to have peace. The church grew stronger and grew in numbers.
This is a really full story,
mm-hmm.
and it certainly doesn't give us all of the details that maybe we want. But it seems that conflicts followed Saul wherever wherever he went.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing. Saul was obviously this like very important person, a person that people watched and kind of, you know, kept tabs on. And that ended up putting him at the center of a lot of the controversies described in Scripture.
Yeah, which brings us to today's lesson, right? To live is Christ and to die is gain. These are Saul's words.
Mm-hmm. I mean, can we really consider ourselves living our best life if we're not living for Christ?
Well, yeah, not at all. You know, some would say that Saul was maybe reckless in the way he lived his life, but I think he just had a different perspective. He knew that if he were to die because of his faith, then he would simply be in heaven with Jesus, which is much better. So he lived his life with nothing to lose because he had already gained everything. His life was now Christ's.
Exactly. He was fully and completely living his life for Christ. And so if he died, he knew he had peace in that. He trusted in God and he had that relationship with Christ. And so he didn't have to worry about things on earth. He had really nothing to lose.
Yeah. Well, it's a great lesson for us today. It's time for our growth tip, Braden. Woo! A way for each of us to grow in a relationship with Jesus. So what do you got for us?
All right. So our growth tip for today is a Bible.
A what?
Or a paper Bible for those who don't like to combine words. But I do. So a Bible puts you in a gratitude. Or a glad attitude.
So, all right.
This is something I found a few years ago that really helped me stay focused. So obviously we look at our screens a lot, especially these days. So I found that I didn't really enjoy reading the Bible from the app on my phone. Now I use the app if I need to look up something quickly or reference scripture, but it just wasn't the same when I was doing my own devotions. So I went out and I bought a paper Bible that I did not mind marking up or throwing in my backpack or bringing with me everywhere, or, you know, if I get a coffee ring on the page, it's not a huge deal. Now, if you have a special paper Bible that's been given to you as a gift, maybe you don't want to treat it in this way, but I purchased this one specifically for this reason. And so the one I have, it's really good. It's a flexible binding. It can lay flat. You know, I'm totally okay with taking a highlighter to the words or writing in the margins. There's something really nice about an actual book and not a screen.
Hey, that's a great tip, Braden. I really like that idea. I think it allows us, or maybe helps us, or forces us, is maybe a better word, to be intentional. There's no interruptions from other apps and different things.
Exactly.
We have to put down the technology in order to pick up a physical Bible.
Exactly. I mean, if we're reading the Bible app, and there's nothing wrong with that, obviously, but we can get notifications or text messages or a phone call and quickly our attention's elsewhere. So I found it really helped to shift my perspective and my attention when I was holding an actual physical book in my hands.
Cool. Well, thanks for that tip, Braden. That's great. So Braden, you promised all of us a very big announcement, so I think you need a bit of a drum roll.
I do need a drum roll. Hook me up.
That was a pretty terrible drum roll, and maybe anticlimactic.
I wish we had cannons in the background.
Yes.
Oh, they can't see. Okay, guys, we have cannons in the background.
Again, anticlimactic.
Okay, we're not great at sound effects, but here it is. The big announcement. For Summer Camp 2021, we at Covenant Bay are very excited to announce that we are planning on doing overnight summer camps for this coming summer. Now, we are looking into ways to make sure that safety is always maintained and fun is had. So we're also creating some flexible space for time and for families to come together and enjoy each other. Oh! And I almost forgot one more thing. Maybe the most exciting thing is we are creating a brand new hot off the press on the road experience that can travel with you and your family.
On the road experience. I love that. An incredible experience together with God, and no matter where you are.
Exactly. No matter where you are, the mountains, the cabin, the home, underwater, at sea, on the moon, the possibilities are endless.
Hey, that's really exciting. So when are we going to get more details on this?
So we are now creating the details, and the details will be put out coming in the new year. So keep an eye out for January, and registration for summer camp will open up after that.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much, Braden. You guys are amazing. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check out the new Bible Story Podcast Instagram page.
Exactly. Our handle is Bible Story Pod. We are on Instagram, and that's a place where you can comment, ask questions, and connect with us and see funny and interesting behind the scenes photos and videos.
Awesome. Well, you guys have a great week. We will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Bible Story Podcast. There is nothing more important than a growing relationship with Jesus. Share this with a friend and have a great discussion.